From Spark and Anvil and LinguaQuest, this is Glyph in Chapter 1 of the LinguaQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. In the scriptorium, Glyph the Ibis Tween had the same two words written 5 different ways down her tablet, and she was daring a visitor to call any of them wrong. "Hello, world," she said, tilting the tablet toward the boy who'd wandered in. "Watch." She pointed to the top line, neat, separated letters. "Here it is with an alphabet, one letter for about one sound." Her feather slid down. "Here, an abjad, the consonants written strong, the vowels tucked into little marks." Down again, to a row where each mark carried a built-in hum. "Abugida." Then a syllabary, one symbol per whole beat. Then, her feather stopped on a pair of dense, beautiful shapes, a logograph, where the symbol holds a whole word at once. She looked up, eyes bright. 5 roads, same destination. "Go on, pick the best one. I'll wait." The boy opened his mouth, then closed it. He couldn't. "Exactly," Glyph said, delighted. Glyph came from a family of scriptorium elders, ibises who had kept the village's writing for as long as anyone could remember, in more scripts than most people knew existed. When she was young, she made a mistake she never forgot. A traveler had shown her a page of Arabic, and she'd wrinkled her beak and said, "Where are all the vowels? That looks broken." Her great aunt, who was patching an old scroll, set down her needle very slowly. "Broken," she repeated, not angry, just quiet. "Child, that script has carried poetry and law and prayer for 1,000 years. It isn't missing anything. It's built for a language where the meaning lives in the consonants, so that's what it writes, clear as a bell." She looked at Glyph over her spectacles. "The only thing broken here is a young bird who called a stranger's home ugly because it wasn't hers." Glyph's ears burned. She never forgot the lesson underneath the sting. "New to me is not the same as strange, and familiar to me is not the same as simple." She was 12 when she walked into LinguaQuest, tablet under one wing, and Mira met her with a test disguised as a question. "Some folks say the alphabet is the cleverest way to write," Mira said, "the most advanced. What do you say?" Glyph could have argued. Instead, she set her tablet down and lit up the 5 lines. "I say look," she said. She pointed to the logograph. "Chinese has whole crowds of words that sound the same. This script tells them apart at a glance. The alphabet would blur them together." She pointed to the abjad. "This one packs a whole word's meaning into a handful of consonants, because that's how the language is built." She sat back. "Each one grew up to fit its own language, like a shoe fits a foot. Advanced is the wrong question. The right question is fitted." Mira studied the glowing rows a long moment. "You didn't rank them for me," she said. "You showed me why ranking them is the mistake." She stepped back from the doorway. "The workshop with the wide windows is yours. Good light for reading."
Glyph's workshop was full of side-by-side scrolls, and the day a group of students crowded in, she had the same phrase waiting on her tablet, glowing in all 5 scripts. "Same meaning, 5 ways of catching it," she said, and walked them along the row. "Latin letters, 5 of them, 1 per sound. Arabic, the consonants strong, marks for the vowels if you want them. Devanagari, consonants with the vowel built right in. Japanese hiragana, 1 symbol for each whole syllable. Chinese, 2 characters, each holding a whole word." She turned the tablet so the light rippled across all 5. "Everyone says hello. Not one of them is trying to be the others." A girl frowned at the Chinese characters. "But those look so much harder." "Harder to you," Glyph said gently, "because they're new to you. To a child in Beijing, your alphabet looks like a fence full of little sticks." She smiled. "New isn't hard. Familiar isn't simple. If you ever hear someone say a script is too slow or skips the vowels like it forgot them, that's just somebody who's only ever seen one road, mistaking it for the only road." She tapped the tablet. There are five, at least, and each one is exactly right for the mouth that made it.
After the lesson, the girl stayed, running her feather-light finger over a script that wasn't the alphabet. "My family writes in one of these," she said quietly. "Not the letters everyone at school uses. Someone said it looked weird." Glyph came and sat beside her and looked at the script the way you look at something precious. "It isn't weird," she said. "It's a whole way of holding your language on a page. Clever, complete, worked out over lifetimes by people who loved it." She let her gaze rest on the five glowing rows. "Your script has a seat right here, next to all the others, not below them, beside them." Her voice went soft and warm. "Every one of these is somebody's home, yours too." The girl traced her family's script again, slower this time, almost proud, and a happy warmth spread across Glyph's face, the kind that comes from watching someone stop shrinking and start belonging. "Doesn't that feel good?" Glyph murmured, looking down at all five scripts side by side, knowing there's room on the page for every last one of us. There always was.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Glyph. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.